Okay. And we're on. It's the podcast. We're back.
Wow. It's been years in the making, man. I gotta tell you.
I try to get out and they keep pulling me back in.
I quite honestly, I think you keep pulling me back in. I keep agreeing to it. And then, you know, I don't think people realize what happened, you know, the three that are going to listen besides us, actually just one.
Well,
they don't realize, this has been going on for 10 years. You do fucking realize that, right?
And what season is this?
Season 7.
Yeah.
Alright.
Some seasons have been like one podcast long.
Well, yeah, that's why we're on episode like 22 total.
Hey, let me start by giving our three listeners, and eventually
more.
And I'm optimistic. Eventually more. Even why not? Why do it if you're not optimistic? But if you have a 30-minute commute, we'll give you about 30 minutes. Pop this in on your MP3 player and listen to it. Take part in the chat. We won't be able to hear you, obviously, but. John Giddy and I will be chatting about a couple of things, Eagles football, how are we surviving the Trump years, and where have you been? And so, and then you can also leave comments that go a little broke, because this will be on a thread, and whether you listen or not, you can leave comments, and, you know, people will get all outraged at the comments, and no doubt. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, that's the format.
That's the plan. We'll see, you know, how it goes. And dive in. Do the football.
Help me out. In the football, I mean, of course, you know, the theory being we have a 30-minute show, we'll break it down in a 10-minute segment for each. I'm ready to move off from the fucking Eagles. So next. Doug Peterson. I mean, what is it? 13th game of the season. We got 3 games left.
I'm
just, you know.
I'm so
tired of this, man.
I think so, the fumble and the turnover in the last seconds of the game. Even if they didn't win, I was thinking to myself this is how dumb I am. Even if they don't win, this game's been entertaining. I feel like it's been better than a lot of Eagles games lately, and shows them, you know, kind of having a little bit of, you know, pride, and I was happy. But then Wentz got back into the ball, and I was just like, oh god, what a way to end it.
The right tackle. So, you know, this will fold into the where you've been part, but we'll still get to that. You know, he got the first down, and then they did something, and I said, I'm going in. So I go into Great Chris, and we're playing the game, and it is the last play of the game, and Kerrigan just completely bitches that right tackle dude, and just Lord Wentz. I'm like, that's it. I'm so glad I didn't, like, bother to wait at home. At least I, you know, was accomplishing something. And then I got called for my haircut, and the person cut my hair was, well, you know, it's a great question, so.
Well, I can talk about great questions, because I've been there, but that's not what I'm going to talk about when I fool the two, where have you been. Let me ask you this about the Eagles. How are you feeling about, you know, this is a rebuilding year for next year? If they hadn't had the three wins in the first three wins, boom, boom, boom.
I think
we didn't have the contract, but if we had, I would have said to you, I feel like they shouldn't start Wentz until game 5 or 6.
But they traded away.
Yeah, Bradford.
What's his name?
Well, at the time, was looking good, too, but he turned out to be, you know.
Jesus.
expose himself. But
exactly.
If you put a rookie quarterback in like that too soon, you get to, the person gets to learn how to lose. And I don't think that's, you know, where you want to be. Like, Brady came in, New England was already good. Their starting quarterback went down with an injury. And then he never learned how to lose. I mean,
he
had a winning, perspective of, we're going to win this game the whole time.
Right.
And I think that's really important for a quarterback to have that perspective. So,
if you want a quarterback to come to the Eagles and no one's losing in life, then if you want a quarterback to come to an organization, and coming to the Eagles is a good organization to break into. So, somebody on the radio not too long ago said that the Eagles, you go through their history of good running backs, they've had solid running backs going through the years. But then you look at their stud wide receivers and it's non-existent. And so, it's still a tough thing to say because, listen, I don't know shit about football, but I know enough to know that when Carson Wentz breaks out of the pocket and the crowd going crazy, and he's not going to freaking make the ball to. Because they're clearly not getting open against who? The Redskins? Come on, man. It's terrible, man. So, I spent my time watching the game, and I'm indoctrinating my 8-year-old son into the game. Little Beatty, Christian Beatty, people may remember. We go all the way back 8 years, so that would have been episode 3. So, we'll put the archives out one day. We'll have to dig through, but we'll put the archives out. So, the Eagles, man, they just break your heart. So, this poor kid, he's watching the game, and he might practically want, I want to curse. You're not allowed to curse. I want to say the F word. I'm like, oh, my God, no. He looked at mom, and then looked, I'm like, what do you want me to do?
He took that idea and this guy, has some filter, makes him more your wife's son than your son. If it's not your son, he's just there.
Here's the thing, right? The day that I said, go ahead, son, let us fly. We should probably be recording that. It should be video moment. It should be, viral. Dad, I really want to say the F word. You know what, Dominic? We've heard it this year. Let it fly. It's your 30 seconds of, that movie where you can go murder anybody for,
Save it for, next year when, we lose to the Cowboys in the NFC Championship.
Gosh. When do we play the Cowboys? We still got another game with them, right? So.
The Cowboys so much.
The 22 of the Redskins, so that guy went to 8-12, man. That's actually just slammed and punched in the face.
He went after Sproles. No ifs, ands, or buts, right? He wasn't trying to play the ball or can that one make a tackle. He was trying to take out Sproles.
And he only got a hitting before the ball.
I know.
Rejected.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm hoping the league looks at that because, come on, man. They come out of the game, too, basically.
Good segue, though, because in the category of people who don't fight back, we have the Eagles and the Democratic Party, so no one can talk
about
it. We can segue to how you survive and how you're making out in the Trump
year. Here we go. Do you want to start first? Because I know you're not doing well.
I'm not. I still cannot watch the news. I literally saw 2 minutes of the news and I physically got ill and turned it. I was like, I can't take it. And of course, you come to a website like this, it's a more liberal. I'm saying like this because I'm assuming that people are listening to it through the link on the site.
We
still have a Democratic Party that is completely clueless, and people in the Democratic Party. I think, all we have to do, there's just a little bad luck. If we just get 51% of the vote, we'll win. And how many times has that lost? Ever since I've been paying attention. Howard Dean,
yeah,
lost to John Terry. John Terry had this stupid dog. Shut up.
It's a family show.
Yeah. But, I mean, how funny lost it? How many W's do the Democrats have to match before they realize we're not doing something right? But no,
you know. All
right,
now keep going. You're on
a
roll.
Yeah, well, let me point everybody to a link that Elson Manuel put up, a guy at Kelly Castro, and it just lays it down point by point, piece of evidence after that the Democratic Party is not worth being a part of. And for me, it's hard for me to make that leap to say, you know, I really can't be a part of this anymore, but... I feel like I'm at that point. I mean, I'm like, why not? I don't disagree. So here's the thing. First of all, I registered Democrat this year to vote Bernie, right? And I thought that was great. So I couldn't even vote.
So technically, I am now a registered Democrat, and I'm not proud of it, and I will be changing that. So, what I would say, and I would ask you is, do you think, and I think the answer is yes, but do you think that they are so now beholden, which they probably were always, but they're so much more now beholden to their donors that you really can't defend the people that you supposedly stand for anymore because you're at risk for offending them? Like, if you say something and the CEO of a company or a big donor, a private equity person, or these health insurance people, if you say something in public, they're going to be like, what are you talking about, man? So they just don't. They're co-opted.
Yeah, and absolutely.
The Republicans are, they're very hiding, right? Like, how people vote for them is just astonishing to me, but... You know, so, I mean, do you think that's the part? I mean, I totally feel that's what it is. And so now, over the past decade or so, you know, the John Terrys and all these people, you know, they just can't. Yeah. Up to and including Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden took the loss. But listen, I don't know about you. I can't stand the guy when he was in Delaware. He was singing, he might have had MDMA tattooed on his fucking forehead.
Yeah, it's true. I think they're beholden to, financial services industry and to the banks and to a donor class that's not affected by this. I mean, and then if my vote is free, which it is because like they don't have to work for it, or, you know, African-American people of color's vote is free, they just have to, you know, give a little lip service that, you know, we're the party of, you know, gay rights and people of color, then what happens is then the message, the overall message is so watered down and sort of uninspiring that people just check out. And I have a union member across the street from me, you know, with a Trump in his yard because...
Oh, no, I met a guy.
No one really thinks Trump is, like, on the side of labor, but at least he said things that were more kind of labor-y than what the Democrats
were. Yeah, I was talking to a guy and then it was kind of affirmed in an article or something. I heard that the union leaders were voting Clinton, and the union workers were voting Trump. And I talked to a guy just like you. I talked to a guy, and he said, this was back in the summer. This was like in August.
And
he's like, I'm totally voting Trump. I'm like, aren't you in the union, right? Yeah. What has he ever done for the union? Like, what? And I'm just astounded. Like, you're fighting your face by cutting off your nose. How does the same goes? You know, and it's just like, listen, man, I get it, dude. Like, I married my wife, and you know what? I'm not always happy with it, but so what? It's like, you put up with some of the bad to get to good.
Yeah.
And you're just willing to completely abandon that because, oh, man, you know, my pension is going to stop. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to go shop, and now you're not going to have a pension. Oh, guess what? And now you might not get social fucking security because you idiots have their chance at it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what, you think that we should not operate on a social safety net at all? That's the way that our democracy and nation, the republic, where, you know, you talk to some people, the nation republic, right? That's the way our nation's supposed to survive, is without these safety nets or sort of things that, you know, catapult you into just beyond third world or honey the mill? I just don't get it, man.
Everybody thinks that, you know, their social station, that their whatever they get from the government is valid, and they earned it, and therefore, you know, people are talking about that, but they always look at everything else as just welfare. It kills me. I mean, some people in my own family who are old enough to qualify for, you know, Medicare, they love it because it's simple and it's
great.
They also voted for Trump because it sounded like he was going to clean stuff up, which is complete nonsense.
I got into an argument with somebody. I said, you know who voted to get rid of Medicare. Like, you don't want to keep Medicare. You just write something, and we can maybe talk about Facebook, too, like where you've been, right? I just saw you write something and make a comment about, you know, don't get touched by Medicare or something, and then you voted Republican. Like, what, you know, do you not remember when Bush tried to privatize all this stuff? I don't get it, man.
You look at the, like, a Hillary Clinton campaign, and you look at how badly, you know, Democrats do in elections, and especially, you know, unless your name's Barack Obama, he did pretty well, or unless you're already sort of, like, ensconced in office, like a Dell or Democrats like John Carney and, you know, Castle Coons, and sort of recent Rochester was sort of accepted into the club. So if you actually sort of like already can put in, Democrats have a hard time, and they're always in close races when they shouldn't be, because the Republican message, what they want to do, isn't a secret. It's not like they're going around saying, you know, secretly.
But the people still vote for it. They still want it. I do know. You know what's interesting is I read Noam Chomsky today. There was an article, somebody interviewed him, and they were asking some questions, and he said, you know, the founders were all wealthy people, and like the Senate wasn't elected. They were basically appointed by the wealthy landowners, right?
Right.
He said the whole myth about our nation being a democracy is we're really not a democracy, we're really a republic, which is, you know, that's really not up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that they always wanted to sort of give you this illusion that you could better yourself in our country, but they still wanted to protect the interests of the rich people. And they never really wanted the poor people to be able to revolt against them and sort of take what the rich people have earned. And so I sort of get, at the same time, like, why all these people vote for Republican, because they don't want the poor people to have access to the wealth that rich people, like you said, they deserved it, they created it. But at the same time, we haven't had this disparity in income and wealth in 100 fucking years, you know?
Right.
It's not going the right way.
Like, it's just the kind of insidious genius of the Republican Party is that they've been able to, and really the Democratic Party, to a large extent, too, is a lot of poor people like that, or not even poor, but a lot of, like, working and poor people into the cause of protecting the profits of, like, 1%. So you hear these arguments, people in, who are basically making minimum wage, making the argument minimum wage shouldn't be raised because it would mean that the hamburgers would be expensive. Nobody ever makes this the next step, and nobody's ever told them. The Democratic Party should have told them, but the cheeseburger doesn't have to be more expensive. It could be that the guy doesn't make $100 billion, instead of $100 billion, he makes a billion.
That's my argument. That's been my argument all along. The conversation is, if conversation stops and the Democrats are such a bunch of fucking pussies.
Yeah.
Because they can't say it, because the CEO that just gave them $1 million in $10,000 a plate dinner at their house, they're going to hear Harper saying, hey, well, you know, you just don't hear about the CEOs maybe not making as much.
No.
Because, oh my God, I never would have thought of that. Because that guy deserves to make $25,000 an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. It's great. That's fine. doesn't make $25,000 an hour, but you know what? The guy at the bottom, maybe he could make you make a little bit for you. Yeah. If this is all thing that I know we'll swing back to the union, and we're into the 20th minute now, so the worry even happens. Maybe this is a conversation for another time, because this is something I've never understood.
Yeah.
Is
we can find somebody and merge them in. We'll find somebody and say, look, you're like a poor working class person. Why do you think the people who make $1 billion should not afford to make like 800 million instead of $1 billion 1 year?
And you know what? And do you realize that if you and the 100 other people in your company making jack shit stopped working, that guy wouldn't be able to make that fucking money because he sits in the room and strategizes and says, you know what? I'd like you to do this week and carry this out. And you're like, yeah, I bet you would, because you don't know how to fucking do it. So maybe if you use and leverage your intelligence and your ability to develop and do things and build things out, and said, hey, you know what? That's called collective bargaining, and that's called building a union. Sorry, never mind. What was I thinking? Anyway, we're into the 22nd minute, so we're
going to agree. Don't police the time. I'll be a police the time.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's how I do it. Like, I look at the time.
Okay.
Hey, that's a good point. Another thing is, where have you been? I mean, I like to make it a segue so that, like, the whole concept behind the curtain. We don't want to, I don't know why.
Well, sometimes you got to wrap it up. Sometimes you got to wrap the segment up, This is why we've never been able to take off. We already have
created differences. Here's the answer to the question that started out the segment, which is, how you surviving the Trump years? My answer is not very well, and in fact, I'm considering the Green Party, and we'll come back to the Green Party in future episodes and talk about it a little bit. But okay, so let's go. Let's keep moving forward. Where have you been lately?
What about this? I saw a Dr. Mysterio.
Dr. Mysterio?
AKA Dr. Strange.
That's
some of us. Yeah, so,
backstory. Have
you seen it?
Oh, yeah,
backstory, go ahead.
When we were setting up the podcast, I said, John, that you could talk about that movie you saw, Captain Mysterio. And he goes, what? Captain Mysterio? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Miss Dr. Professor Strange. That's a strange.
So, we actually, before this call, backstory more. Before this call, we actually talked about this call. We did actually plan this. So all this happening right now, this isn't off the cuff.
It's all scripted. We take months to memorize the script.
Yeah. It took us 11 months to come back to this season. But at this point, I'm going to shit you on the podcast now. Listen, I thought it was amazing. I really did. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't see the 3D because maybe I'm getting old. I can't see movies in 3D. I saw the last Avengers movie in 3D, and I was like, I've never seen a 3D movie again. I almost was watching.
I can't believe it.
I think I want to hear about yours. But I'm talking about the movie. All right, so I go in and I sit down, and my daughter picked it out, and there's a whole backstory to my daughter and I go to the movies in the first place. But I sat down and go through the movie and start, and it's a Marvel movie. And I'm like, holy shit, I didn't even know this was a Marvel movie. So then the next thing you know, like, the landscape is bending and contorting and is doing all this stuff just like it was in that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Inception. And so I was like, it must have been totally like some of the same guys that did that. Which Inception was awesome, but this was Inception on steroids. It was like, it's like LSD. I mean, it was incredible. And I'm telling you, I said to my I don't know how people come up with this, man. I just don't know. The technology and the intelligence of these people, it's amazing. Sheer amazing. It was awesome. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Two thumbs up from you for...
Oh, yeah, no doubt. A+. It wasn't as good as Deadpool. It wasn't as good as Deadpool, as violent as Deadpool, because I think it was PG-13. But it was very good. I would totally recommend it, you know, for like kids 10 and over, 11 and over, if you don't cost, you don't, you know, smallish or that stuff.
Did you have a problem with the fact that it was Benedict Cumberbatch? Was he,
I did. I kind of did at first, and then there was sort of, you know, the backstory of him coming about, so he started off as the Doctor, and then he finds his way into becoming Doctor Strange, and he does this journey through, like, Nepal or some shit, and the beard, you know, like, he gets all rustic, and I don't even know what the word is, destitute almost, and his beard is growing in, and it just looks like a stage Hollywood beard. I'm like, man, but then it just got good after that, so... He really was good. I mean, he really did fit the role. He really did. I have reservations, yes, but the movie definitely put those to the side.
Yeah. That wasn't the easiest of my, where have I been, but I have, because I had recently been to the Christiana Mall for Christmas shopping, and I was going to talk a little bit about that. But,
please.
Instead, I will tell you.
Oh.
The virtual reality is amazing.
Yeah. Okay,
I was at a friend's house, and I have an adult son who just graduated from college, and he has this virtual reality studio in the basement.
Wait, he graduated from college?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay, keep on.
And it's about a 10 by 10 space, and there's a sensor in the corner of the room, a sensor in the other corner of the room. So it was a high-end system. It was very nice. And I don't want to do any roller coaster or anything. I don't want to get motion sickness.
Right,
and,
sure.
He put on a program that was like an under the sea experience, and part of it was like a whale swimming by and stuff.
Right.
And it was, my mind completely blown, dude. You are so in the world of this thing is so real that I was like,
okay.
Here's a couple, my initial thoughts were, when this gets to be commercially at a price point where everybody can have it, like, no one's
going
to have it. Like, the social changes are going to be enormous because you don't have to. Like, you put that thing on, and you're literally, your mind is in, like, a whole different space. Like, you don't have a Parisian street scene and, like, a table of chair in your shitty trailer and put that thing on, and you're sitting, like, at a cafe in Paris.
It's not real. Don't lie to me. I mean, it's that real. You feel like you're there.
It's very immersive. I mean, in the undersea one, there's like jellyfish floating by, and you can kind of like, they react to you when you put your hand up, and it goes
swimming
in a different direction. It's wild.
Okay.
It's computer graphics, but it's obvious that there's going to be movies, games,
Exactly.
In that format.
Exactly.
So when everything's in that format, you're going to be standing, and whether it's a first-person shooter game or a stage play. Like, say you're interested in Shakespeare, eventually, when somebody does this, you could be on the stage during like the premiere
performance. Oh, wow.
King Lear.
Yeah.
And the action's sort of happening around you, and you're really in it. So immersive. The goggles and the headphones on, and my nerves itched, and I had completely forgot that I had goggles and headphones on. I went to itch my nerves, and I'm itching, and I hit the, left side of the
door.
Your mind, the walls just go away, the space changes.
Wow.
So, in one hand, I'm like, this is amazing. I want to, go and...
Right.
But on the other hand, I'm like, this is kind of scary in a way. Like, can society keep up with the technological change?
No. No.
No.
They can't. No. This goes back to why, what I said before in a comment I made on Facebook, is that, people are terrified of the technology. And a person like Trump will just murder everybody for them and set the world straight. So all the technology that we have to worry about, you know, falling behind, you know, we don't have to worry about it with Trump. We'll just, you know, kill everyone for it. So,
you know,
This
could be some real ethical challenges going forward, and might
wow.
talk about them in future episodes. But
we've already gone over on our first show. See, wow, all right, that was awesome. I think that was a good one.
I'm gonna give this one 5 stars and somehow. I'm gonna rate it somewhere.
Wow,
it was you. Wow. Is that ethical?
Right.
I mean, it was you. Yeah.
So I record episode 2, whatever that may be. It could be 2018. So hang tight, guys.
It's Westworld. It comes around like once a year.
All right, there it is.
Did you think of a sign off yet for this one, for this iteration?
No, it's the same one. Yeah. Later, bitches.
All right, later. Nice talking to you.